It's good to see y'all here this morning. As you know, last couple of weeks we've heard messages on a sermon series I started on the church. Being that the day is Father's Day, and it is Father's Day, it's still Father's Day, Jason, it's still Father's Day, right? It is still Father's Day. I have a sermon appropriately formatted for that occasion. We'll continue our series on the church next Sunday. As I sat church and pondered the message, asking God to give me direction, as I thought about how the family looks today, y'all looked around to see how the family unit's looking? How families are looking today, how the church looks today, as I thought of how our society and our culture are changing, I became almost overwhelmed. When we look at all the obstacles that every person in the room is facing, we would all with one accord agree that the world needs more Jesus. We would agree that the world is in the shape that it's in, not because Jesus has left us, but because we've left Jesus. Church, please hear me right now. Jesus is doing his part. He always has and he always will. The problem we have in this world has nothing to do with him not doing his present part, but it has everything to do with us doing our part. Now, our problem is the people of God need to act like the people of God. Now, let's step back and be perfectly honest as we look at the church. Since today is Father's Day, I'm going to pick on fathers a little bit. Is that all right? Good, I was going to anyway. Church, do you want the world to be better? Do you want our homes to be better? Our churches to be better? Well, here's the solution. Men, it's time that you become men of God that God has called you to be. Now I'm going to hear the women say amen. The women have held the reins of the church long enough. They have done their part. We need to allow them to sit down and us take the reins that God rightfully wanted the man to have in the church, to be the men of God in the church. It's not that women can't. It's not that they haven't. It's not that they won't. Hey, listen, women have a place in the church, and they do a great job of it. But listen, women have done it all. You know why? Same reason at the house. You know why women do it all? Because the men won't. Golly! Getting quiet now. It's getting quiet. Listen, let me speak directly to men. Are we taping this? Is this rolling? It's rolling, okay. Listen, can I speak directly to men here for a few minutes? Y'all ready? And it's not just in here. It's not just in this church. It's not just in the farms. It's not just in Savannah. It's not just in our state. Listen, this is worldwide. There's an epidemic of men not stepping up being men of God throughout the world. So this is to men. And I had to say this to myself too first. Brother Frank, can I go? Do I have your permission? Amen. Thank you. Number one. The world has enough pretenders, men. The world needs to see real men of God being preachers of the Word of God. Oh, I'm not done. I could stay there for a while. Listen, it's going to get worse. Listen, men, the world has enough occasional Christians. The world needs faithful men who are Christians. Not part-time, full-time Christians, full-time men of God. The world has enough religion. The world needs to see men with relationships with Jesus. The world has enough players. Young people, listen to me. The world has enough players. There's enough men who call themselves players. The world needs more men in love with one woman for life. For life. Your life, her life. The world has enough baby daddies. The world needs men to be real daddies. thought they were going to get loud right there. What's funny, Lisa? Hey, listen, the world, men, the world has enough partiers. The world needs men to be fulfill the call of the priesthood of all believers. The world has enough hunters. The world needs to have men who are hunting for the truth of God in the Word of God in the house of God. The world has enough hobos. The world desperately needs men to be husbands who love their wives if Christ loves the church. The world has enough gluttons and drunks. The world needs men to hunger and thirst after the Word of God. The world has enough claimers of Christianity. The world needs men to stand up and be proclaimers of the Word of God. Look around at this world. Before I came in, I looked through some of the news feeds, and I saw our brothers and sisters in Charleston, South Carolina, at the church where the shooting took place, lifting their hands up and proclaiming God in the midst of tragedy. I saw men of God standing, holding their family's hand and worshiping God Almighty. Listen, what the world needs is all that I just said here a few minutes ago. All of what I said. But what the world really needs to see is the family unit, the man of God being the man of God in the house of God, holding hands with his family, holding hands with all of those around him, lifting their hands up high with one hand, waving the Christian flag in the other hand, and boldly proclaiming, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's what the world needs to see. I'm so sick and tired of these men who are just sniveling, just pansies, that won't stand for anything unless their wife tells them they can. Hey, listen, God's called you to be so much more through the Word of God. Why don't you be what God created you and called you to be? It's amazing. It's amazing what can happen when we do what God so desires us to do. What this world desperately needs is to see men of God. Well, you might be asking yourself right about now, well, you know, what's the first step that I need to take right now to be everything you just talked about, everything you said in that long list, Brother Kyle? You know, we're getting tired, we're getting hungry. Just get to the meat of the message. How in the world can I be everything that you just talked about? Glad you asked. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I could have used many scriptures, but I think this one just really stuck out. This is a good one. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne. Listen to this. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we stand before the Lord. Listen to this. And his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." That word, holy, 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 translated, is without equal. That right there, we could be able to shut our Bibles and just have a holy fit right there. Without equal, without equal, without equal, the Lord of hosts, his glory fills the whole earth. Verse 4 says, the foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and lives among a people of unclean lips." Can we get a relation there? Does anybody understand what he's talking about there? "And because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard a voice. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who should I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, Send me. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. Lord, help us in this short period of time give you glory. Acknowledge who you are, what you've done, what you've always done, what you're continuing to do. Lord, bless us by your presence. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Knowing the time that I have, I formatted my sermon. That was a long introduction, I understand, but I formatted my sermon to the time that I have. And you're looking at your watch and you're saying, you're done with your time. Well, no, I'm not. Y'all just hold on. I'm just about done. We're about done. All right? Y'all good? For you to be, men, for you to be what the world needs to see, you need to see three things. And they were all right here. They were all right here. We saw all three of them. Number one, first of all, you need to see that you're not worthy. As Isaiah saw that he was not worthy. Hey, church, hey, men, you need to find yourselves down here at the altar admitting to God what he already knows. And that is that you're not worthy to serve him. Do you realize that Jesus knows that you're not worthy, but yet he still wants to use you to serve him? There's nothing worthy about you. Scripture says that your righteousness, what you think is good about you, is like filthy rags. It's no good. It's no good. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. Then I don't understand something. I see a whole bunch of people who think they're worthy to serve God. Exactly. I don't understand it either. Listen, the closer I get to God, the more I study, the more I pray, the closer I am within my relationship to Christ, I realize one thing. I'm unworthy. I'm worthless. I'm useless. I've told y'all one of the hardest things for me to do is put R-E-V in front of K-Y-L-E. It's hard for me because I don't feel like I'm worthy. I don't understand these guys. I mean, I wish I could have gotten all the I wish I had two or three doctors. I really do. But I don't understand these dudes that have to put doctor in front of their names. You call them, and there's caller ID, and a preacher's calling a preacher, and the preacher says, hey, this is Dr. So-and-so. I don't care who you are. According to Scripture, you're nothing, right? The closer you are to God, you're nothing. That is a big problem with the world today. We think we're somebody. We've arrived. We've made it. No, you haven't. All you have because God gave it to you. And if it wasn't before because of God, you'd have nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Dan, we came from dust. Dust. Hey, listen, if Jesus doesn't come, which I believe he's going to come here before too long, listen. If Jesus doesn't come, guess what we're going to go back to? Dust. Women, all y'all are is a rib bone from the side of man. That's all y'all are. But when you die, you're going to go back to dust just like the man. We're nothing. But we spend our entire lives trying to build ourselves up to make people think that we're something. Listen, if you're ever going to be what God wanted you to be, man, woman, or child, you have to realize that you're nothing in the sight of God. And when God sees that, he said, ho, ho, now I can use you. Now I can do something with you because you finally realize and you get it. You're nothing without me. But with me, I can make you become anything, everything. So number one, you need to realize who you are and you're not worthy. The second thing the world desperately needs to see is this. Secondly, we need to listen to God's call instead of pretending we hear nothing. Did you hear me? We need to listen to God's call instead of pretending that we hear nothing. God is heard asking the question that he is still asking today. Who should I send? Who will go for us? Well, who is us? Us is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three powers of the Godhead are seeking who to send. What an honor. Now, listen to me, church. I have a problem here, and I hope that you can help me with it. I was raised in a gated community in TK, South Carolina. My mom can attest to that. Please don't ask her questions about my childhood. She's down here on the front row because she'll be able to tell you some stuff, and I don't want y'all to think bad about me, okay? She's already been talking to my children about, oh, Kyle, do you remember when you did so? And I was, no, don't do that. But listen, I know who I was. I do. I know exactly where I came from. And it blows my mind that God would come to me. Steve, me. I mean, I was a liar, a cheat. I'm glad Mom doesn't know about all that. God, I mean, ooh, I was bad. I should have been in jail. I should have been in kids' jail. You mean to tell me that God chose me? Me, a liar, a cheat, a thief. The grades I had in school, half of them weren't mine. They were somebody else's. I looked on the other papers. God chose me to be a preacher? Me. And He's called you to do nothing? You mean to tell me that God chose the trash, and that's what I was? I mean, I was nothing. The older I got, the worse I got, Bob, until God got a hold of me. You mean to tell me that He wanted me to be a preacher and He wants you to be nothing? I don't, Brother Frank, does that make sense to you? That He would call me? Listen, there's some good people who call themselves good Christians. They're good people. And He wants them to be pew sitters and occasional Sunday morning sermon hearers. And that's it? That doesn't make sense to your preacher. I'm sorry. Listen to me. I believe that God has called a whole lot of people to be proclaimers of the Word of God. That's right, preachers, men of God to be preachers, and you're falling down on the job. You're running instead of proclaiming. I don't get that. The world is in the shape that it's in, like y'all were talking about a few minutes ago, because we're not proclaiming. Where are all the preachers that God is calling? They're running. They're running. Would be to God that you quit running. Listen, your job, your life is never, never, ever going to be complete until you do what God wants you to do. No, mine wasn't. Thirdly, lastly, when we hear God, we need to respond to His call instead of running from His call. Y'all remember, how many school teachers do we have in here? Y'all raise your hands. Do y'all remember, Mandy, what grade did you teach? Third grade. Listen, when you have volunteers in your class, do they go, oh, no, I'm not volunteering for that? I mean, we're getting ready to study math, and after we do math, we're going to do spelling, and we're going to do, and the teacher stands up and says, I need a volunteer to go to the office to get something for me. I ain't going. I'd rather stay here for math and spelling. Y'all remember that in class? When the teacher said, I need a volunteer to go to the gym. Oh, whoo, hey, hey, whoo, whoo, hey. Y'all remember that? Volunteer? Is that how it is in your class still, Mandy? Every second of every day. Hey, we want to volunteer. We want to go. It's great to get out of the class, right? And y'all know y'all take the long way. Y'all remember that? There's a short way and then there's a long way. You go the long way. You go outside and back inside the building. To the bathroom, wave at your friends at the class, stick your tongue out at them, all that. Then you go, right? That's what we're doing. God has called each and every one of us to do something. Men, there's not one of you under the sound of my voice that God hadn't called you to do something. All of you to do something. What are you doing? What have you done with the calling that God has put on your life? I ran for 9.5 years, and it was some of the most miserable times in all my life. I can imagine where you are and how things are going. Why in the world run? When God has something for you to do, why not just do it? Listen, did you hear what Isaiah said? Did you see how it was just like a first, second, third, fourth grade classroom? There, all the students are sitting down, and God walks in, and He stands in front of the class, and He says, who will go for me? Who will serve me? Did you see any hesitation in Isaiah? Did you hear Him say, well, let me think about it? This is what famous Christians do. Let me pray about it. For 22 years, and let me see what listen, if God's telling you to do, what in the world do you have to pray about if God's telling you to do it? Bob, does that make sense to you? I mean, that's like your wife asking you, hey, listen, I need you to cut the grass, take out the trash, and wash the dishes. That's like you looking at your buddy and say, well, I'm going to ask my wife if it's okay for me to do all that stuff. Well, she just told you, do it. If you don't do it and she gets home, it's going to, it's not going to be nice. Hey, what do you think it's going to be like when you stand in front of the righteous Father and he's asked you to do something and you've said, well, let me pray about it for 22 years and then you die and he says, what did you do with your calling? How pleasant do you think it's going to be? Church, we need to be like Isaiah. I'll go. Send me. I'll go. Send me. Please, I'll go. Send me. Now, it'll take you places that you never thought you'd go. It really will. It'll take you to a town in Kentucky, in between mountains, South Central. There's crazy people up there, isn't there, Melissa? There's some good people up there. There's some crazy people up there, too. But that's where God will send you. He'll send you to places you never thought you'd go, you never thought you'd visit, you never thought you'd stay. Listen, I'm telling you, but it's all a part of God's plan. You know, there's people somewhere right now that God's called you to go that you're running from that need you. Men, do you hear me? There's people right now dying and going to hell because they're missing out on the message that you need to be preaching there. You need to be teaching there. Well, Brother Kyle, why should you go as God has requested? Why should you go? Why? Number one, because it makes no sense. Makes no sense. Can I tell you that every time God has picked me up and moved me someplace else, listen, it's made no sense to me. None. And because it's made no sense to me, that's when I knew it was God. Listen, God doesn't make sense to us a lot of times because our ways are not his ways and his ways are not our ways. You know what he wants us to do? Do you know what he so desires to hear out of man? Here am I. Send me. No questions. Just send me. You open the doors and I'll walk through them, God. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to hear from us. Secondly, listen, the second thing that doesn't make any sense is this, because it makes perfect sense. Brother Kyle, that doesn't make sense. Well, yeah, with God, a lot of times it doesn't make sense. But then again, it makes perfect sense because it is from God. I can't tell you how many times God has opened a door for me, and I was like, God, this doesn't make sense. And I've tested him. I've been immature, just like Gideon. I'd say, you know, God, can you show me? Can you give me a sign? And there's never been a time where I've been immature and I've asked just like Gideon that God hasn't said, okay, what do you want? I'll show you. And he has. So when God calls us, a lot of times it doesn't make sense, but after you accept the call, listen, it makes perfect sense. Why should we do what God has requested? Thirdly, because it is what this world needs to see. It's desperately what this world needs to see. This world needs to see men of God standing with God and the Word of God. Church, listen to me. If you think the world and culture has gotten bad in the last 3 years, listen, please hear me. Please hear me. You ain't seen nothing yet. You have not seen anything yet. You better brace yourself. You better get prepared. What would this church look like if every man would fall on their face right now and admit to God what God already knows, that you're not worthy, but you want God to use you? What would it sound like to our children if they heard their daddy saying, God, send me? What would it sound like to our children? Daddies, on Father's Day, will you honor the one true Father and answer his call to you and come and follow him? Will you? He called us all. Will you follow him? You've got a calling on your life. God didn't call me to be a preacher. No, but he called you to be a priest, to reach out to those in your community, in your area of influence. Hey, listen. Will you follow him? Will you trust him? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you. And we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being our Father. Help us, God, to feel your presence during this time of invitation. And if there be somebody here today who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that you would give them, Lord, every ounce of courage to walk down this aisle, that we might share with them who you are and what you've done for each one of us. Help us to show, that we might show them what Scripture says you've done, that we can accept your grace and your love, that they might have eternal life. Lord, I pray that your presence will be felt during this time of invitation. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?